Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Margaret Marshall, and I'd like to welcome you to the Labrish. You're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio, and I want to thank all our listeners for calling in, and those listening online, and all the fans that may come by later and listen to this exciting show this evening about Jamaica being the first again. I'm just so excited whenever I come upon these nuggets of enlightenment, because as our fans know that here in the backyard, we are established to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich culture of Jamaica, land we love. And when we get together in the backyard for a labrish, as most yardies will know, that's what we refer to Jamaicans as, we relax, we imagine we're in our favorite chair under the mango tree or on the veranda or in the backyard or just somewhere on the beach or wherever you would rather be in Jamaica than here if it's cold or any part of the world that you may be listening from. Because in the backyard, we're always relaxed. So I ask you to just let the cares of the week or the world just go by as the breeze gently caress your face. The trade winds that blow over the island, we are great at pretending here. Now, it's been sort of miserable in my city all day, rainy and dreary, but now I get a chance to relax and pretend that I'm in Jamaica in the good old days when I grew up, when things were a lot calmer and quiet, and we could really just hang out. I am sure people are hanging out just the same way now. However, lots of us in the diaspora is living on our memories. So tonight, we are going to be celebrating and hopefully enlightening Jamaicans and other friends of Jamaica or people who may just come by for a cultural lesson or a history lesson. Because Jamaica, as we say, we're little but we talawa. because we're always, there are so many times when we're the first in things. And tonight, I have to say we are the very first Caribbean country to establish the Salvation Army. And it was so interesting to me to find out how it all came about. And I think there are several lessons that we can take from, you know, learning what I will be sharing with you tonight. And as usual, because it is elaborate, I'm asking any of the listeners online, unfortunately I cannot interact with the listeners that are listening on their computers, but those calling in can hit one on your keypad, and I'll know that you want to join the Labrish. So please feel free to do so as I ramble. But for our listeners online, if you do want to call in, make a comment, or tell the world who you are, or tell us how you like our show, you'll have to dial the phone, and it's 718-766-4558. So with that said, I'd like to start by giving you a little history of the Salvation Army in Jamaica. And I got this from Pieces of the Past, which is published in the Gleaner. It's online, so people can check it out if they want to find out. They have some wonderful articles that are on there, you know, for us to discover about the past. So in 1865, the same year that Jamaica experienced the Morant Bay Rebellion, England experienced a different kind of revolution, a revolution of spirituality. A man named William Booth had an idea. I want you to remember that word. He had an idea. He wanted to form a different kind of army, one that would spread the gospel to the masses. He shared his thoughts with his wife, Catherine. Check that out, too. And the Salvation Army, an evangelistic movement that would go on to reach millions worldwide, was born. Now, as I go through this tonight, I am so inspired because, you know, even in 1865, people single-handedly were getting ideas and moving on it. I'm sure times were not perhaps all that good, you know. But if you have an idea, just move on it. Man, am I inspired. Okay, back to the, you know, I have sidebars. That's what a Labrish is. I'm not going to be always reading. I'm going to be putting in my little inspiration and ideas, which I hope you appreciate. So I'm looking for some raised hands. So whenever you want to join the Labrish, just hit the button, number one. Okay, the head of the Salvation Army is referred to as general, while a Salvation Army church is called the corps, and its ministers, the corps officers. Now, officers dress in uniform, and the Salvation Army produce a quarterly newspaper. In case you didn't know, the magazine is called The World, and they have an online thing going on and all of that. But that's a little history about how the Salvation Army started. It actually was started in England. Now, here comes Jamaica. It started in 1865 in England. In 1885, Jamaica sends an appeal for Salvationalists. Two people were instrumental in this development. Mother Agnes Foster, a former slave who was taken from Jamaica to England with her mistress and returned, remember that word, returned home after 40 years. And W. Raglan Phillips, an Englishman who lived in Jamaica as a surveyor, printer, and publisher of the Westmoreland Telegram. Both were converted to Salvationism at different times, and both started their own missions, Mother Foster in Kingston and W. Raglan Phillips in Bluefields. I know that place well, Westmoreland. They wrote to William Booth in London, remember, he's the one with the idea, to become proper members of his Salvation Army. 2 years later, in 1887, their prayers were answered when Booth sent out his Pioneer Caribbean Party, a young family of eight from Manchester, England, the Davies. They arrived to make war on sin and evil in the West Indies. And this was an article written by Dr. Rebecca Tortello, who contributed this article to Pieces of the Past, which is in the published online, really, too, on the Jamaica newspaper. So, Mother Foster and Mr. Phillips met their ship, and crowds followed them as they made their way along the streets to their new home at 9 Duke Street, where a Thanksgiving prayer meeting was held. Colonel Davy, that's the one who came from England, soon sought permission for the use of public space from the mayor of Kingston. The mayor, unlike the island's press, was not accommodating, and Davy was turned down. No street meeting then. The owner of the popular Myrtle Bank Hotel, I'm sure some of the people in the diaspora may remember that. I do. Mr. Gale came to the rescue. Just a minute here. However, offering his lawn for the Salvation Army's opening service on Sunday, December 18th, 1887, at 5 p.m. He described the event in his own publication, which was Gale's newsletter, as follows. If Colonel Davy preaches doctrines of this kind, we believe there is no planter, P-L-A-N-T, planter in the whole island, oh, he's talking about the slave owners, who would not make the Salvation Army welcome on his estate. The Gleaner also described the event in glowing terms. There is a cleansing fountain, a very large concourse of people, estimated at between 4,000 and 5,000, and expressed surprise at the lack of rowdiness. Another paper, the Evening Post, however, described the event much less favorably, noting that nothing new took place. It was the same old story of the cross of Christ crucified. Now, what I want to just mention here, you know, as we go back in history and learn about all of these neat things, we can relate it to so many things that's happening in our, wherever we live, whether in politics and religion. I mean, this is so cool. You know, history just keeps repeating itself. I see a raised hand. I see somebody wants to join the Labrish. I see everybody else. The board is full, and I welcome everybody. As you can hear, I'm all giggly tonight because I'm so inspired. And I'm going to open the Labrish up to 678-467. Good evening. Your mic is open, and you've got Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have?
It's Joan. I'm listening.
Oh, and you raised your hand, Joan. So welcome to the backyard.
Thank you.
Do you want me to leave the mic open? Do you want to make a comment, or you were just fiddling?
Well, no, I'm listening. I'll join in when I think it's appropriate.
Okay, great. Well, I want to welcome you and thank you for being here.
Thank you.
So, back to my notes here. Now, before the end of December, Gale's newsletter was advertising nightly open-air session complete with organ music and drums. I remember those drums when I was growing up. Not in the 18-something, but in my time, when you hear the drums, you know, the Salvation Army was at the street corner. And I don't know if anybody can remember that, but I remember that. Now, thousands showed up and soon appeared in Jamaica as well for distribution. And some, oh, just a minute. And soon, thousands showed up and soon appeared in Jamaica as well for distribution. Salvation Army standards and procedures were duly explained, and in less than 4 months, in March of 1888, reinforcement had arrived from England. The first Salvation Army Temple Church on Church Street was ready to be opened. 2,000 persons were from communities as diverse as Fletcher's Land, Matthew's Lane, and St. Andrew packed in to take part. A few months later, in May, a Salvation Army Corps opened in Spanish Down, and in July, the word continued to spread with a launch in Montego Bay, in Bluefields, Westmoreland. Raglan's Phillips people continued the movement, reaching out to Black River and Savlamar. Without him, as he had relocated to Kingston to assist Colonel Davy and his wife. Now, I just want to point out, remember, this all started with an idea in one man's head that he shared with his wife, and they got it done. So, if any of my listeners know how excited I am, because, you know, that's what anything starts with, an idea and a passion. And obviously, this person who started this had a passion for his beliefs. Now, remember here in the backyard, we're not trying to figure out who's right or who's wrong or, you know, what you believe or what you don't believe. I am just bringing up things, facts from the past, and hopefully we can relate to them in our current situations and in our current lives. Because a lot of times, you know, we can learn so much of the past. I know right now all over the world, you know, things have changed and the economies are not that good and bad things are happening as they were in London, as I read there, you know, but somebody had an idea, they got on it, and wait till you hear, well, I'm sure that most of us that live anywhere knows that the Salvation Army is there. They're always there in the case of an emergency or when people need help. But I had no idea how it got started. And knowing that it got started in Jamaica before any other Caribbean island, and perhaps just a few years after it started here in the United States. You know, there's just something about the tenacity of people from that little small island. And I wanted to also point out, it was sort of interesting to me, two people that started it, you know, from different ends of the spectrum, because you have an ex-slave, a female, who in those days, I don't think things were all that easy for women, and being, you know, a former slave, and someone who was a businessman. Look at that collaboration. Isn't that great? So anyway, back to my notes. Now, I always have to ask people in the online and listening online and on the board to just bear with me, because I'm just a giggling old lady. I found my age paper and I just don't even believe it. So I'm having fun here, you know, and I really appreciate you joining me in the backyard to inspire me to have more fun. Anyway, let's get back to the notes, Margaret. A year after its establishment in Jamaica, the Salvation Army marked its anniversary by asking General Booth for 50 more officers. To do this, an article, Jamaica Past and Present, was written in All the World, and the sins of Jamaican people, were described in details in order to present a case for widespread support. Now, Mr. Gale, once a champion of the international religious movement, took offense and denounced the peace extensively in his newsletter. Remember, he's the guy who gave them the place to have their first meeting. So the fact that they were using the sins of the Jamaican people to get more soldiers against sin to come didn't rest very well with him, although apparently he liked the movement. And bringing that out to just point out, you know, it's no different from what goes on here now, even here and now, even within the ranks of a religious group, a political group, a social group, there's always somebody not agreeing with something else somebody else did. Anyway, back to the notes, Margaret. The local press supported his stance and condemned the army's work. Serious disturbances began breaking out at the army's church street location, causing the Davies to hole up in the building. They were effectively marooned for 3 days. The army's work, however, did not stop, but rather continue and on a much more subdued scale. Circulation dropped. Personal effects had to be sold to raise funds, and Colonel Davy was forced to accept responsibility for the article. He turned to General Booth for help. The general sent him support, but things did not improve enough, and eventually, in early 1889, he decided to withdraw his troops from the island, stating that he felt driven to a resolution such as I have never been under the painful necessity of taking with regard to any other part of the world. So he was willing to go anywhere else but stay there. The army's building on Church Street was sold and the troops disbanded. Got it? Oh my goodness. Now Westmoreland keeps the flame of Salvationism alive. So they closed down Kingston and Mr. Davy got out of town. Now, yet, the fall of Kingston did not mean the fall of the island for the Salvation Army. Country troops continued to grow from strength to strength, particularly in Bluefields, Westmoreland, where every soldier wore a uniform and could speak, pray, or sing a solo when called upon. The war cry began to be printed again, and the Salvation Army listed Bluefields as its place of origin. Soon after General Booth announced summoned Raglan Phillips to London to plot out the army's future in Jamaica. Phillips was promoted and returned to Jamaica with Major James Cook, and an Irish officer chosen by General Booth to recommence Salvation Army work island-wise. It was in 1892. This time, the army's work continued unabated as it expanded its reach around the island. Halls were built for worship, and a community service ethic was solidified. The island's western parishes became strongholds for Salvationism, and many Jamaican men and women had the course of their lives changed dramatically. And this is also from the Hobbs. I think Hobbs is some historical document that they keep quoting here, and it is, if anyone wants to look it up, it's 1986 on page 18 to 30. So all of these things that I'm sharing with you that are listed on pieces of the past and put together by this historian are actual documentation. So, you know, it can be verified, and we're not making these stories up. I'm just putting in my little sidebars. But anyone can check on this for themselves. I know a lot of time people, I know I didn't have a lot of time when I was trying to raise my family, my American family, to really check up on history. And, of course, we didn't have the Internet at that time. And for my listeners who might be a little not sure about the internet. I know that there are a lot of goofy things happening, but it's also a marvelous tool for finding out stuff. So if you have an inquiring mind and you ever want to know, there are opinions and facts and just loaded on the internet. So if you use your time wisely, you will just find it a lot of fun. So I encourage my peers who are the seniors, and you know, remember, I'm a senior, so I feel like I'm more senior than all the seniors. But anyway, you know, it's really interesting to be able to get some of this information at the click of a button. And I see that we have a caller, 404-421, who wants to join the Labrish, and I'll be opening up the mic in a minute. Here we go. Good evening. This is Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have?
This is Donna calling in.
Hi, Donna. Good evening. Where are you calling from? Let the world know.
I'm calling from Austell. I'm actually driving, so I hope there's not too much noise in the background. But I was listening. Is this the same Salvation Army that we have today that's here in the United States?
The Salvation Army you have today.
Wow.
Isn't that something? And I'm sure that this information is even great for Americans, or I know you are a friend of Jamaica, but I didn't know all of this about even how the Salvation Army started, and I didn't know too much about, you know, their theology, what they believed in. You know what I mean? So I had a lot of, it was sort of an eye-opener for me to just find out all these neat things. And I was, of course, overly excited when I know that Jamaica is the first again in of the Caribbean islands that started their movement, you know, attached to, and that was just shortly after it just started here in the United States. So, you know, we're always getting on top of things. So back to my notes. Did you have a comment, Donna?
No, that was pretty much I just had a question on that. It was kind of interesting. I missed a part of the beginning, and I was like, is this the same? I couldn't believe that was the same.
Salvation Army, yes. And yeah. I'll just tell all our listeners now, as a youngster growing up in Jamaica, I remember anybody on the board can relate to what I'm saying, I remember as a child you would hear the drums, and they would have, and people would be, the music, the bugles, you know, the trombones, the things. They had wonderful bands in the old days. I don't know if they still do, but when you hear that, you know, and they were so neatly dressed. Their uniforms were just beautiful. You know, their uniforms and the uniforms of the then army. We had a band that usually play at Hope Gardens on Sundays, in the gazebo, and the military band, and their uniforms were just spectacular. So anyway, and I used to be so intrigued if we were, you know, in those days you did a lot of walking, of course, and if I was with my mother and I heard the drums, I would want to go to where the meetings are, you know, to if nothing else, listen to the music and see the band. I don't remember much of what they preached about, but that was what intrigued me as a child. Anyway, back to my notes. The earthquake of 1907, which we discussed last year in our History Month. The Salvation Army to the rescue. On Monday, January 14th, 1907, the lives of thousands of Jamaicans would be changed dramatically when an earthquake destroyed much of the capital, Kingston. The Salvation Army's response was immediate. Trained in how to cope with emergency situations, soldiers were mobilized. They later reported that over 1,700 bodies were recovered and more than 20,000 persons rendered homeless. Although the army lost its headquarters, which by then had moved back to Kingston, it worked hard to provide food and shelter to those in need. It also provided spiritual guidance with its music and preaching. And they here again, they're quoting from Hobbes. This was the first time the army rallied to provide much-needed support in a time of crisis, actions that would be repeated consistently throughout the army's close to 120 years presence in Jamaica. And I know that a lot of Jamaicans that might have experienced, as I did as a child, hearing the Salvation Army, I was not even quite aware of, you know, who they helped or what they did when I was growing up. I know now, you know, but at the time, I was just intrigued with their, you know, their presentation. They were always well, their uniforms were just always pristine. There was a lot of precision to the way they did things, the way they marched, the way they played their music. I remember them having like a conductor, and, you know, everything was just like the military. So now I know that the whole concept of the person with the idea was to make it like a military, because it's an army of soldiers that are, I suppose, stamping out sin. In his mind, that's what they were, that's what the whole concept was about. But once I get to the other part of it, you will see how it all ties in. Now, I'm reading from the Pieces of the Past again, and it says, today, the Army is well known for providing assistance in the face of disasters, natural or man-made, and offering help to the poor and destitute on a regular basis. In fact, together with the Jamaican Red Cross and the Jamaica Adventist Disaster Relief Agency, the Salvation Army forms the full response team in a crisis. Interestingly, in the 1920s, this guy, Phillips, Raglan Phillips, attempted to found a breakaway group called the Light Brigade, later known as the City Mission. It shared the Salvation Army's format of a rank system and uniforms, although its faith was more Pentecostal. It still exists with a number of members in Jamaica and elsewhere. And if there are any listeners on the board that are familiar with the City Mission, or I suppose that's what it would be known as now, please let me know, because I thought that's interesting. Because here it is, you know, it's people defecting from what they were originally involved in. You know, that's even happening now with people joining a club, then they don't like something and they go off and do their own thing, or a church. So part of what I'm trying to do here is to see, you know, about our humanity. We're so much alike. You know, there are things about our past that we can relate to what's happening right now. And if, again, if any of the listeners on the board want to weigh in on the labyrinth, please let me know. Hit one on your telephone. Okay, now today the Salvation Army spreads its mission of joyful worship, fellowship, and community service in 109 countries, taking including others in this region. You know, the Bahamas, Haiti started in 1950, French Guiana in 1980, St. Martin in 1999. But remember, Jamaica was the first. The Salvation Army is also found in St. Lucia, Grenada, St. Vincent, St. Kitts, just all over the Caribbean and other territories. Due to consideration of size and scale is where they start something. Worldwide, the Salvation Army counts more than 1 million members, and its trademark, Red Shield, is easily recognizable as a mark of compassion and work for others. You see how one little seed, one idea, I suppose with passion and determination, can grow. I mean, I am just really inspired by these stories. Because remember now, this was started with one man's idea. Now, the Jamaica Army counts some 14,000 members, 70% of which are women. That's interesting. It is one of the strongest Salvationist organizations in the Caribbean region, and the territorial headquarters are found at 3 Waterloo Road in Kingston. Throughout the island, the Salvation Army continues its evangelistic and community service missions by running basic schools and daycare centers attached to each church, as well as clinics and children's home. A school for the blind, welfare and innovative drug rehabilitation and counseling programs, male and female hostels, and they provide disaster relief when necessary. It also operates a ministerial training college, which all Caribbean Salvationist ministers-to-be must attend. After serving as a cadet in college, ministers are ordained and known as captains. After 15 years, they are promoted to major. All other ranks are reserved for executive officers. The Salvation Army funds these programs through its churches and its annual Christmas appeal, with considerable support from some local businesses in Jamaica. An annual fundraiser, one of which is coming up in Jamaica in June. So that is the Jamaican story. But I just find it rather intriguing when I did start my little research to find, number one, that it was started in Jamaica before anywhere else, and by the two people who started it that were, you know, as I say, different ends of the spectrum, but coming together because they both had a passion for their beliefs. And look how it has spread in Jamaica. But not only that, look how it has spread from the point of view of the person who started it in England, because now they're in 118 countries. That's how many countries they're in. And I just find it really, really inspiring when I, you know, can connect, as I say, with the fact that it, I suppose it was just everything that we see, whether it's except what is made by nature, it was once just an idea in somebody's mind, just an idea. And they can, with determination, with a plan, and with a passion, you can make it happen. So I would just like to open up the board now to anyone who would like to join the Labrish and tell me if you have had any interaction with the Salvation Army. I didn't even think of it really when I was young as such a very organized religious group, but I was reading something on, you know, just the Salvation Army in general, and I see where they really started out in England with appealing to what would you call the poor and downtrodden. They were on the street looking for prostitutes, drug addicts, you know, just poor people. And what they were offering them were the three S's. Now listen to this. Soup, soap, and then salvation. So they'd feed them, clean them up, and then preach to them. And I figure, what a concept. And it really worked. It worked like a charm, and it's still working. If you go on Wikipedia and just type in the Salvation Army, you will get so much information about it, including when each country started. And, you know, as I said, they're all over the world. I mean, parts of China, Russia, it's just amazing, just amazing. But I wanted to point out something that I saw. You know, they have special choirs. Right now in the United States, they have groups of young people who are doing their thing as far as the religious part of it is concerned in modern style music. But I think their rules and regulations still remain the same in the people who are actually preaching, wearing the uniforms, and they're considered disciples. They're soldiers in the war. They're soldiers of God in the war against sin. So with that said, as I say, I'm waiting for some comments from my listeners, and I see the board is full. I welcome my listener from 631, from 973. We have a few dialing from 718. So if you want to weigh in on this discussion, we have a few more minutes to go. So please just hit 1 on your keyboard and at least tell me who you are. And if you are joining, if you would like to join the Labrish. So, Miss Donna, did you learn anything tonight?
Well, pretty much, you know, I'd always assumed that the Salvation Army was kind of like Goodwill or something. I had no idea of its origins and, you know, kind of like its mission statement. And, you know, only time I really saw the Salvation Army was around Christmas when they would set up, you know, Walmart and in front of different stores and, you know, to gather money, and you know, I guess like most things, we just kind of become numb to it, because I mean, they've been around here since forever that I know of, because they've always been in front of the stores, and when you're young and you see something, then you just say, oh, that's the Salvation Army, and I never really went back to look and, you know, get an understanding of who they were and what they represented, and it's kind of interesting to know, you know.
Well, let me just tell you, as you mentioned about the Christmas time, do you know that the Christmas carol, Silver Bells,
mm-hmm.
was inspired, the writer of that song was inspired by the bell ringers at Christmas time, the Salvation Army bell ringers.
Oh,
isn't
wow.
that interesting? That's what inspired the writer to write that song. Another, even one of the Beatles songs was inspired by one of their charities in London. And that is, I think, I'm trying to get to my notes here. Excuse me. But there again, I'm going back, you know, it's strictly a religious thing. They have a list of their beliefs here. And it's all, I would say, similar to the regular Christian order. You know, which I won't go into. You know what the regular Christian order believes in.
Well, I think that's really what's neat is that one of the things that they seem to be doing is actually going out and getting those people that, because most people, you know, have a physical church, and when there's a physical church, they're expecting people to walk through the doors as opposed to those people that go out in the field and get the people that really need, you know, help and cleaning up and encouragement or whatever. And so,
well, if you think about it from the point of view of soldiers. You know, the soldiers go out in the fields to kill the evil, the devil, or the whoever they say is the devil. So going on the street to do their thing is in line. He thought this through. Every aspect of it, you know, the Mr. Booth who put it together,
mm-hmm.
because that was the whole idea, you know, to go out and get him.
Right.
I suppose they looked at the things that they were going after as the greatest sin. You know, the people who were prostitutes and just bad people in their eyes, you know, the people who were drunkards and wasn't doing what they thought was right. So they would be on the street, And a lot of them were the poor and downtrodden here, as I read it. And so they were offering them first a meal, then clean them up, and then tell them about their, you know, spiritual beliefs.
Right.
So the point I'm trying to make here is that he had an idea, and it was well thought through. And much of it, as I read here, is the same as it was in the old days.
Mm.
I wanted to tell you that one of the Beatles' songs, Strawberry Fields Forever, was inspired by a strawberry field place that they have for children in London.
Oh, okay.
Where, you know, even in modern music and song, they have contributed in some way to inspire the writers of these songs to write, you know, something loving, relating to what they do.
You know,
it's interesting that the majority of the soldiers are women.
You know,
they have a picture here on Wikipedia of the Salvation Army band playing in London, and the women have the you know, the trombone. Is it the trombone, the one with the big flute horn part? Yeah, I think so. Trombone, and the men are blowing the bugle. But the women certainly outnumber the men. And their brass band, they have a contest. I mean, it's such a big movement now, you know, big movement. And I just want to mention to our listeners that, do you know, the Salvation Army was the first response when, after 9/11. The Salvation Army was there before anybody else.
Mm.
I think that's interesting. They are well-trained, you know, at what they do, really well-trained. And I'm sure they're very dedicated people, you know what I mean? So they tell you how their uniform came about, and the uniform can vary from country to country and culture to culture. They have specific colors that they have to stay within, but, you know, basically it's the same. And the flags, a lot of times they when they're marching, you know, there's a flag bearer. It's there's a lot of parts that are just like the army. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all structured.
Well, you know,
someone from 631 that went away on the Labrish. So I'm going to open up the mic in a minute here. And,
you know, with the thing
having
with
a little technical difficulty. Go ahead, Donna.
With women, you know, I think that almost every general Christian type religion, if you go into most churches, you'll find more women. And even when I know when most times when you, like downtown Atlanta, they would have like the sandwich wagons or, you know, sandwiches that were being brought in from churches. Most of those people that were going out there, the majority of them were women that were out there passing out the sandwiches to the homeless downtown. And also, I'm not really so surprised that it's majority women that, you know, participate in the Salvation Army.
But
and
what is interesting, I wanted to make an interesting point here, is that when this man had an idea, he decided to, he worked a certain part of his idea, and his wife worked another part. She appealed to the wealthy to contribute money to the cause.
Hey.
And quite like she, you know, she was successful. But I want to just share this with you. The Salvation Army is one of the world's largest providers of social aid, with expenditures including operating costs of $2.6 billion in 2004, helping more than 32 million people in the U.S. alone, in addition to community centers and disaster relief. The organization does work in refugee camps, especially among displaced people in Africa. The Salvation Army has received an A rating from the American Institute of Philanthropy in the United Kingdom. is the largest non-governmental provider of social services in the world. There again, one idea. It is just amazing. You know, regardless of what your beliefs are, your Christian beliefs or your spiritual beliefs, you know, when you read about things like this, to me, it's just very inspiring. And I see that our listener at 631-451 want to weigh in. So, hi, this is Margaret. Welcome to the backyard.
Hi, Margaret. This is Janine.
Hi, Janine. Talk a little louder. We can hardly hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I'm just calling to say that if I'm not mistaken, I think they were the one that came up with the song Onward Christian Soldier.
Quite likely. I don't know. I don't see it in my notes, but if you say that, I'll take that. It sounds like it would relate to them.
Someone told me about that. So, you know, I just wanted to bring
that's an interesting point, and it might be here, but there is just so much to read.
I know.
You know what I mean? So it sounds like something that would really relate to them, because the whole concept were that they were soldiers for Christ.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and the idea is to stamp out sin.
Right. And the uniform back home was different color from here. Ours was white.
Uh-huh.
They wore white in Jamaica.
Right.
And, you know, here you see them in red, so.
Right. I don't even remember seeing anybody, except when they're ringing for Christmas.
Christmas.
But here it says the Salvation Army's main converts were at first alcoholics, heroin addicts, I didn't even know they had them in those days,
yeah.
Prostitutes and other undesirables, unwelcomed into polite Christian society,
right,
which helped prompt the Booths to start their own church.
Mm-hmm.
The Booths did not include the use of sacraments, mainly baptism and the Holy Communion, in the army's form of worship,
right,
believing that many Christians had come to rely on the outward signs of spiritual grace rather than on grace itself. So, I'm saying that to say, here you have a Christian in the Christian movement then, in 18-whatever, but he is noticing that the people are relying on the communion and the sacrament and the baptism to make them holy, but they were not really doing the deeds to make them holy. So he decided to do his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And look what he started.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So with that said, I want to thank our listeners. I think we have, we're almost an hour already. Boy, time really flies when you're having fun.
I know.
And Janine?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes. Did you know that it was started in Jamaica before any other Caribbean island?
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, I learned that, too, just by doing the research.
Yes.
So I said, you know, am I missing something here? But also, I wanted to point out there are some tidbits I'd like to share before we end, unless someone would like to put up their hands. But they're called, they have little, I suppose we'd call them pet names in Jamaica for them. It's sometimes referred to as Sally Ann. Has anybody ever heard that? In Canada, they refer to it as Sally Army. Some people say Sally Ann in the United Kingdom and in Australia. And the Salvos, S-A-L-V-O-S. Is displayed in the front of some of the shops in New Zealand. And the Sallies, S-A-L-L-I-E-S, is referred to in some places. So, you know, they're using more modern, I suppose, talk as times change to describe who they are. Only their beliefs and concepts remain the same. So I just thought that was just so interesting.
Yeah. Did you know that they repair furniture too, and they have a home for the elderly?
Oh, yes. They have a lot of things just all over the world. It seems like what they do is, you know, whatever is most needed.
Right.
But I just thought the three S's best express the way in which the Army has administered to the down and outs.
Yeah.
First soup, second soap, and finally salvation.
Margaret?
Can't have it any better than that.
That's right. Clean them up and then
feed them,
clean them up, and then save their souls.
Amen.
At least the body has to be strong before it can listen.
And clean.
Yes. Incidentally, I just want to mention, you know, that they've had their disciples or whatever they call themselves have been, you know, from all walks of life because they've had writers and, you know, musicians and people that are astute, you know, intellects. And I'm sure, you know, the poor and down and out too from all over the world. I mean, there's hardly a country that if you ever see, you know, Korea, Chile, Belize, Virgin Islands, Cuba, Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, Nigeria, Kenya, I mean, Hong Kong, they're just all over the world. Just all over Bangladesh, Portugal, Venezuela. It's amazing. This one man started this army.
That's all
amazing.
It needs.
Pardon?
That's all it needs. One person to come up with something.
Yes, yes, yes. And I want to encourage our listeners that if you do, how do we leave our mark? You know. This man has really left his mark.
Yeah.
And we individually might not leave it on such a big scale, but if we pass on something to one person, one young person, one child, one youngster, it doesn't even have to be our own. It can be somebody else's child, a child of the world. We're leaving a legacy. And that reminds me because, you know, we're still celebrating the legacy left by our late Rex Nettleford. And I know that one of his passions was education. And he thought it was so important that everybody should be educated about what they do, you know, what brings them joy, what their discipline is. You know, learning, he talked about life as being a long distance run, not a sprint. So don't get on the horse and then the first time the horse, you know, gallops, you fall off and you stay down. You know, get back up on the horse and try to ride a little slower, but don't miss the mark. Keep your goal in mind, knowing that if you have the passion and the drive, and sustain it, you will get there. You will get to your destination. So with that, I want to thank all our listeners for being here with me in the backyard where I have so much fun each week discovering things about Jamaica that I didn't know before, positive things that we can all celebrate and reminisce about and connect to. And I want to ask you to spread the word, share the link with your friends if you are on my mailing list and did get a link. And if you're not, please go by to Backyard Labrish, www.backyardlabrish.com, and leave us a comment. Or you can do that online, too, if you're listening online at Blog Talk Radio. There's some place there that you can let us know if you are enjoying the show, if you'd like a special kind of show, because we're here every week at 8 o'clock to celebrate, enlighten, and Donna, help me out here, celebrate, enlighten, and what? The good judge... I'm having a senior moment. Who's going to help me out here?
What is it again? Celebrate.
Enlighten. And it starts with an R.
An R.
Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what the heck it is. Well,
where
with that.
Donna. Where is the person from the Bronx?
I don't know. They have abandoned me tonight.
It's
I see 718,
like,
but apparently it's not them.
As soon as we
has something to do with record or restore or, oh, dear me. Well, I see another hand. Who's going to help me out? 718-376 to the rescue. I'm opening him up the mic. Welcome. This is the old lady of the in the backyard.
And restore?
You're not abandoned.
Oh, there you are. We are here.
You're listening.
We're here to
celebrate,
enlighten, and
reminisce.
Okay.
Yeah.
About the wonderful culture we grew up with. Jamaica, land we love, and we only celebrate here in the backyard. We don't talk about problems. We don't talk about politics. And tonight we're not really talking about religion. We're just talking about what was, although I think that this was just a great idea by this man. Were you listening all the time, Lay?
Yes.
Okay, did you learn anything?
Not really.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. History Buff.
No, well, you know, we have to study religions, and the Salvation Army is really a religion.
Uh-huh.
So.
And you studied that when you were in your Catholic school?
Ah, you hit it right on the nail. We had to study all of these other
religions. Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't even know they'd want you to know about any other.
Even though we couldn't participate in other religions, we had to know it, right?
Ah, thank you, Jenny.
Oh, I got you. So I gather that we have another Catholic grown person.
Let's not
here.
Talk about the Catholics now.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just talking about
The Salvation Army. And it's a very good organization.
It is.
And,
right.
By the way, that's one of the legitimate organizations that you can get a tax exemption for contributing to. For.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or safe for fundraising. You know, you donate anything to them, it's safe.
That's correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage all our listeners that want to give back or want to give, whether you're listening from Jamaica or anybody, you know, just be proud that Jamaica was one of the first Caribbean countries that embraced the Salvation Army. And these two people who started it, you know, especially I'm thinking for a woman to be that active, you know, in 1885, was quite commendable. And I know that I think it was Women's Day a few days ago, and several Jamaican women were mentioned in a special segment in the Gleaner, and then other people were saying that there were other people that should be mentioned and weren't. But I just want to say that all the women that stood up for something or, you know, believed in something and was able to make a difference, in, whether it's in the families or wherever, I commend them and salute them. And you know, we don't have to have other people celebrating us. We can celebrate ourselves. We just feel good about what we do. And that's what I want to end the talk with tonight, to just let everybody know that they are always appreciated here in the backyard. And you can just hopefully look forward to just coming, relax, minimize us on your computer while you check your email or whatever else you're doing. And if you do find a show that piques your interest, as they're all saved in the archives and they're right on the site and everything is filed by the month, so just click on a month, see what we talked about, And you can send that particular link to any of your friends that you think might be interested in something that you found or something that you're interested in. So that's how we other people know about us, and we would really appreciate you for doing that. So with that said, I want to thank all who gathered in the backyard, and especially those that raised their hands and joined the Labrish. And next week, we'll be back here with a very interesting subject. Oh, I can tell you, next week, we're going to be talking about the sculptor Huey, who passed away, I think, a week before Professor Rex Nettleford here in the United States. He died. And our guest will be another artist who is an enamelist from Toronto that will be joining us to tell us about her interaction and her inspiration from him. And a lot of people might not know, we have so much talent that has been scattered all over the world. And that gentleman died here in the United States, but, you know, he's celebrated by all the known artists over the world that is in the type of art that he was in. So we're going to talk about him next week. So I hope that you'll come by. And if you know anyone that might be interested in that subject, please share the number with them and have them join us here in the backyard. So with that said, I want to say good night.
Night.
Good night.
Night, Donna. Night, Margaret.
Okay. And as usual, make it a great week. Bye-bye.
Right.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.